Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Vital Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. You know, we thought maybe the start of the day we might have saw some higher numbers of the corn. Maybe the wheat would have kind of pulled them along. Unfortunately, the corn ended up in the negative territory, kind of following along with what happened in the soybeans. I know there's a lot of market influence that's on there, including what's been going on in South America. And of course, those drone attacks that have affected what we saw within the wheat complex. We're going to kind of look at these markets and look beyond how we need to be getting ready for planting season, how that marketing plan is going to affect it all. As PJ Conrad joins us, PJ, of course, is with Trados. So let's kind of start out with this corn market. I mean, I really thought because the wheat did so well today, it might have just kind of grabbed the corn and took it along with it.
You know, hey, at least we battled back, Susan. We were down there a couple throughout the day. It just seems like corn's stuck in this stagnant sideways market, which is fine. It's better than what we've been on, you know, on the previous 60 days in Jan and Feb, so we'll take some sideways trade. And you just have a big report looming, what, in about 10 days or so, that probably just trade a little bit wanting to just be sideways. You know, we've just banged on this 50-day moving average and can't seem to get above it. What's that trade? The 445 type level. Haven't got a move above it. And so I think until you see that, then you get the psychological number of 450. If you can finally break through those, it appears you open the door to trying to get back towards 470 area. But again, those are tough targets to get through, especially when you're lacking fundamental bullish news and your technicals maybe are getting a little bit worn out to the tune of everything's rolling back over, maybe trying to get a little bit of weakness. Now, you know, does that mean we're going to 420 again? I know we got a nice set of support here at the 10 and 20 day that we've bounced on. So it's just more about, how can we maintain some of these support levels, bounce off them, and then what fundamental news can we find to really get that next push higher? And exports look good, but there's a lot more, I guess, to that story probably to be had than we know today, too.
So kind of talk about this wheat complex. We don't talk a lot about the wheat trade very often, but obviously we know that this one definitely gets highly influenced by any geopolitical out there at this point.
It does, and that's really what keeps us, I guess, somewhat on our toes, right, of where the wheat market could go as you start talking about, well, is there Black Sea, you know, drone missile strikes coming again? I think that kind of hit this morning that maybe there's some more of that going on. I don't know how long, you know, you get how long that story, it seems like it's stayed relevant for 2 years now, so I guess it is still relevant, but tensions are definitely back there, which I guess isn't a horrible thing for our markets. Probably not great for worldwide type conversations. But I guess is what it is, and that's the path we're going on now. And there's a lot of unrest, I would say, worldwide currently that makes you wonder what else could affect the markets here in the short term.
All right, so that is the big question. What do you see as you have conversations with the folks in the office and, you know, just customers? What are some of those fundamentals that might be pushing in?
You know, I think really, trying to pick out both sides of the coin, right, and say where could this thing go, what could this thing do, and I think you got to look and say, well, fundamentally, if you want to be bullish today, you're really going to want or hope for a dry safrinha crop, for it to stay dry down there, be hotter, and trim off some of that yield, because that's kind of where we're going to run into some issues maybe from a corn export side. We've ran really well here the last couple weeks. I think, you know, Mexico and whoever else is buying, you're going to need them to stay active over the next 6 months, because our window of getting those exports starts to drop as that new crop, safrinha crop, comes off too. And so you just have the world variable of that, right? The other big corn producer down in South America. I think that's one thing you look at, but you also have the planting intentions report at the end of the month, which history would tell you those numbers probably aren't going to deviate a ton off the February outlook numbers they had. So I don't quote me on it, but I want to say it's 91 million acres of corn and 181.5 yield. That's going to look like a big number on paper. Now, how much has trade digested that? How much are they going to believe it? Nobody knows how the market reacts to that. But if you look at that on paper, you'd say that's probably a fundamentally bearish thing to see again. And then you just get into our weather, right? And flip a coin on that. We need moisture bad. It looks like we're lining up for next week to get some moisture, but to what extent? And that's really going to be the driver as we flip the calendar over here on April 1st to see what the markets are actually going to do.
But isn't this in some ways like Groundhog's Day all over again? You know, we wait with much anticipation for this March report. The rumors go about, oh, is it going to be more corn acres versus bean acres? And then the battle kind of starts until we kind of get some more concrete numbers after the planters hit the field.
Yeah, they will. And I don't know, you hear people maybe talking about, you know, more cotton acres dragging off some of the corn acres, just fringe acres not getting planted this year. So could that be a lower number? I don't know. We need to talk the March report, how much of that plays into it. But then again, that's where I go back to, we can think whatever, right? And think the market is going to do X, Y, Z. But at the end of the day, you don't know necessarily what trade maybe has factored into this already or where they stand with it, where they might already have those equations kind of mentally figured out. And so USDA can put whatever, and then it comes down to how trade actually reacts to it. So that's always the interesting or fun thing with those reports. But it does. You know, we're always waiting for weather, right? Is it South American weather is going to get bad? Is it our weather? You know, make the argument it is dry, but if you get off to a decent start planting in April, it's going to be hard for the market to maintain any type of upward momentum at that point, just solely because crops getting put in the ground timely.
And of course, you know, we look at weather and all the other factors, and I think when we come back, we're going to have to talk more about how we do some marketing plans. But does it come as a surprise, real quick, before we head to break, that our export numbers have just been kind of stagnant at this point?
You know, we're hitting pace. You know, we're maybe a little bit above pace the last couple of weeks. And we're obviously a lot above last year, which we need to be. I don't know if it's necessarily a surprise because no one's been wowed by exports all year, right? But they need to stay on, right? We just need to clip on pace. And as long as we can hit that USDA projection, maybe you catch a ethanol demand number that's stronger, anything to try to whittle down our carry out a little bit. Every, you know, 50 million bushels helps. And so
we've got more around the corner. The Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio.
A best of both worlds product portfolio is one of the aspects to look forward to from the new Channel brand in 2025. Here's Matt McGuire, new Channel dealer from Wisner, Nebraska.
With bringing in Fontenelle and Channel together, I think that our portfolios will also be second to none, especially on the corn side. It'll fill holes for both companies that customers may have seen there before, and I think it's just going to make us really rock solid on the corn side.
For more, contact your local Channel Seed Pro in Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado.
Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as our conversation continues with PJ Conrad with Trados. And I know you guys have a lot of conversations with your customers and just with producers in general when you're at different farm shows. And that's really having a marketing plan in place. And I think sometimes it's so easy to say, well, let me get my crop in the ground and then I'll deal with it. And then it's like, well, let me get irrigation started and I'll deal with it. And I think that just kind of, we get into this circle that we maybe aren't dealing with it as soon as we should. What is your guys' thoughts when it comes to, especially with the volatility that we continue to have in this trade?
Well, I think, like you said, having a plan, I mean, you got to have one, whether it's pre-planting, during planting, post-planting. It really comes down to what you want to execute. And I'd make the argument you need to have one in place now. I mean, we got a lot of moving targets, and you know, depending on when you start working with someone or what your game plan was, how you got into the situation you're in. I think I've told you before, I've said on air before, of just, it's hard, in my opinion or in our opinion, it's hard to say we're going to go out and give, you know, blast mass marketing advice, because you don't know, is the guy 50% or is he 20% sold or is he zero? Because then those conversations become different to the tune of what you're exposed to on the farm. And I think just right now, you look at some of the things going on, and depending on where you're sold at, I think a person has to look pretty hard to either making, you know, some sort of sale at these new crop type levels, or, you know, putting some sort of floor on. Just, you got the March intentions report coming at the end of the month. And if that's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and think it's bearish or bullish, but you got to prepare for the fact it could be bearish. And so if it's bearish and we get off to a decent start planting, what is going to bring the market back? Now, there's always something, you know, things don't just die forever, but at the same time, you got to be in position that while I'm planting this crop, I'm not, you know, upset about the price action that's happening. So you got to put some sort of floor on. If you're sitting on a lot of old crop, you just got to look and say, what fundamental can I take out of this? You know, you got to, those all play a factor, right? And they're good talking points, and they matter. But you also got to look at, say, the technical side of things and say, well, we are at, you know, a point of strength. and we need to be a seller of something. And how we go about that can vary from person to person, but laying off some risks, especially if you're sitting on a decent chunk of 23 crop and you're staring down a 24 crop you're going to put in the ground, you're just, your risk is so large and a lot of dollars out there that you got to start unwinding that even at prices you may not like. And I've told guys all years I've met with them, either, you know, new prospective clients or clients of, we can't let the 23 marketings distort our 24 views, right? Because you might be selling a lot at the same time, but you also can't get frustrated about your 23 price and let it affect your maybe slow playing on 24. And there's just enough seasonality out there to tell you, yeah, we're going to see a rally sometime in the spring and we're going to kill this crop. But you don't know if that's going to come. You know, 2017, it came July 4th weekend, and it was there for about 2 days and gone. And a lot of times, you know, if you pick a day, you'd say middle of June. But if you don't, if we don't get that big run up in June, your cost of failure is pretty large then to the down, right? Because you just run out of seasonal time frame for it to make the move higher. And so that's where I just think you got to get ahead of the curve. And if you want to be 50% sold by, you know, late June, early July, how are you going to do that? If you want to be 80% sold, where are you positioning yourself today to accomplish that goal without knowing that it might go to 470 or 5? You don't know. I mean, we're sitting here today at 470, and do you feel like maybe we get a chance? A lot of retracement would tell you back to 490 or better, and then maybe back above 503. Yeah, there's a lot of history to tell you. We'll make runs at those. But you just don't know when that's going to happen. So what is your risk portfolio weight, and how can we properly protect you through some of those time frames? So if the market does something erratic that nobody sees coming, some event or just in general chop sideways, how are we going to manage that? And you know, I think staying flexible in these, like you said, volatile markets is the key today. You know, it just, there's so much political stuff going on. There's also just are opportunities for large volatility there. It's happened the last 3 years pretty greatly. So you want to be in position to capture whatever the run may be, but I sure don't want to be standing around come harvest and it's 350 and be undersold thing. Oh, now what do we do? Because you can't, in an up market, I always tell guys, in an up market, we can adjust to that and we can get things done. There's always a way to capture more value in an up market. If you're in a down market and you don't have anything sold, you are on a prayer plan for higher prices. And that's just not a marketing plan. That's a, I got myself in a bad position and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. And then people can make erratic decisions because of that and compound the problem. So the biggest thing, you got to get some downside protection on how that looks. Varies person to person, but you got to have a card to play if we are down 40 cents or up 40 cents just to keep yourself in that mindset of, is corn or beans are up a dollar tomorrow, how do I feel? And if they're down a dollar, how do I feel at these positions?
Well, lots of great stuff we talked about today. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you guys at Trade Us?
You can give us a call at 402-858-7529 or find us on any social media platform at at Trade Us LLC.
All right. That is today's Channel Final Bell. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Channel Final Bell, brought to you by Channel Seed and the Channel Seed Professional on the Rural Radio Network.